are listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are rewatching their way through Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
Fuck this. It's two guys. There's one guy that abandoned the podcast to raise his son.
I know.
Like, it's just fucking disgusting.
This is very fastly just turned into, it's turned into Carrie CK. Just yeah. Carrie, Corey, Kevin.
Carrie CK.
Carrie CK.
Carrie and Kevin. Corey and Kevin.
Carrie, Corey, and Kevin. Welcome to Carrie CK, a podcast where Corey and Kevin talk about Sex and the City and their old friend John, who they never see anymore.
Let's see. I was texting with John earlier. I'm meeting his son soon.
Oh yeah, you're meeting the Mick.
A lot of people were dancing on our grave. A lot of people were praying for our downfall.
Yep, that's true.
Listen, this is straight from our Patreon episode. Well done, boys. Super interesting to see Aiden and Big in a different light. Someone said this is the best Patreon content yet.
Yep.
I'm almost like nervous to show that to John.
I know. I thought about it. Well, I think you shouldn't be nervous to share it to John because I think I texted that to him and you yesterday.
Okay.
And then I realized after I texted, I was like, I mean, that is like being like, hey man,
he's probably recent episode. He's probably so nervous.
He's probably really nervous.
He's probably like every time he looks at his son, he's just like, man, I love this guy, but these Patreon episodes are getting good reviews without me there. I think I gotta.
Did I make the right choice?
Yeah,
it's kind of like when somebody starts like, have you ever done? Well, we're kind of involved in a fitness challenge with our friends. Mm-hmm. We're on a text thread, but it's kind of like if you've ever done like a fitness challenge with people that are clearly more workout people than you, and mm-hmm. you're just like, I can't fall behind.
Yeah.
I gotta work harder.
Yeah.
I gotta get my miles in.
Yeah.
All the time.
I mean, listen, I think we have maybe a few more of these Carrie CK episodes. Mm-hmm. And then we'll bring John back in the mix.
Yeah.
We're doing this in person, by the way.
Yeah, we're sitting across from each other.
The only lag that you hear is all natural.
That's right. There's no lag except the speed of sound that's 5 feet between our bodies.
Yeah, we're back. We're all back in New York.
Yep.
School is back in sesh.
Yep.
And we can go over to John's to record.
Yeah, exactly. We got a very nice message from, this is not a Patreon episode, but we got a nice message from someone on our Patreon who was like, I love the podcast. I just want to ask, what days does it come out? And she was like, because I just want to know, because we've been a little all over the place. And
there was a private messaging service on Patreon. We just said, shut up. Don't ask.
How dare you
pay for content and then ask for.
Hey, it's called Watch the Throne, not Approach the Throne. Okay. No, she was very nice, and I said thank you, especially as a paying patron. And I said, you know, they will be out on Wednesdays. And then immediately after that, New York flooded, and it flooded our podcast studio. And I got a text. I was standing in the middle of Broadway in Brooklyn, in ankle deep water, because I had chosen to go meet a friend that night, and then couldn't get home.
Yeah.
And as I'm standing in the water, I get a text from Balin, our producer, that just said, sorry, pod can't go up. Entire apartment flooded, and everyone's okay now. But
yeah,
we've had that immediately after. I was like, pod will be up next Wednesday. It didn't come out. But we've had some stuff going on. You had to move this week.
I had to move. We've been in it.
We've been
and all the frickin' I'm hosting a refugee at my apartment. Hurricane Ida refugee.
That's right. You are. You do have an Ida refugee.
I posted the picture after all the rain. I posted a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker, like holding a newspaper over her head. And I was like, all New Yorkers right now. And someone put below it, like, this post would be funny if there weren't over 20 people that lost their life in the flooding. And I was like, well, yeah, everything's like that. Everything would be.
That's true.
It's like, oh, God. I mean, yeah, I know.
Man, I wonder if that person lived here.
I mean,
hey, they're right.
They're right. Like, everything would be funnier if people didn't die.
Yeah, that is true.
But,
I watched.
But yeah, it was, to everyone that reached out, thank you.
Yes, to everyone that reached out, thank you.
Because a lot of people did reach out. It was, you know.
No, people were very, people, and I will say, I think the person I talked to on Patreon, I think she was like, that's great. Thank you so much. And then later she was like, oh my gosh, I hope you guys are okay and stuff. So yeah, I mean, everyone reached out and it was really nice of them. And
yeah.
And we're like finally getting back on our game now. Things are settling. It's always that time in the fall when it's after Labor Day. I wonder if they do a Sex in the City episode that's after Labor Day. That's like, cause New York specifically has like a fall feeling where everything kind of comes back into it. Sarah Jessica Parker posted a picture today about her kids going back to school and how she was just like talking about how like everything's changing and stuff like that.
We can find on Wikipedia the premiere dates of each
thing.
Cause that would be,
that's a good,
they, I mean, they always kind of premiere in like summer, right? Like June.
I think so.
Do things still premiere in summer like that?
I don't know.
They probably film a lot in the fall and the spring.
Right. I mean, there's, sorry. There's always those terrible shows that come out in the summer that are like The Masked Singer, but worse. They're always, it's always like Family Game Night on NBC. There's always those shows that come out in the summer, but I think it's different for HBO.
I wonder when this new thing's going to come out. It's probably all shot, right?
I'm guessing, you know what, we were talking about this. I was looking on Getty Images, the amazing photo website, and you can look at like press photos that they're putting up.
Really?
And so I don't know if there's new ones that came out yet, but I was looking the other day at press photos that were coming out from Getty. And I know I've seen KJD posting some stuff in New York, which makes me think something is still going on with filming.
You know, I'm KJD.
That's right. You're KJD.
Yeah.
KD.
Kristen Davis.
I wonder what her
middle name is. Jasmine. Kristen Jasmine Davis.
Man, what if this was the Carrie CKK pod and it was me and you and Kristen Davis?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing. I would love that. I mean, it has been that before. It was just the Bradshaw Boys with Kristen Davis.
Yeah.
Go listen to those episodes. I'm looking to see when season one first premiered. The first one premiered August 23rd, 1988.
What?
Yeah. The first episode of the show, the pilot aired August.
You said 1988.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. 1988. I've lost my mind.
August.
And then season two, episode one premiered October 3rd of 99. So in the fall.
Okay.
And then season three of Sex and the City premiered October 15th. It aired from June 4th to October 15th. So
yeah, June 4th was when the show first premiered in 1998.
Oh, you know what? Sorry.
That was the 20-year anniversary.
Everything I just said was incorrect. The first one started on June 6th. Yeah, they all started in June. I was reading the ending dates.
Do you think they're going to do that again this year?
Huh?
It's going to be June? We have to wait that long?
These started in June, but that was also 20 years ago, so who knows. But yeah, it looks like they all came out.
And I bet all the movies were summer blockbusters.
Yep. Yep.
I think we're looking at the summer.
Man,
that's kind of great because now it's like the beginning of the school year.
Yep.
And then once summer break comes, that's when we get to watch Sex and the City. So we have like a full school year ahead of us to catch up.
Exactly.
To take our tests.
Yeah, exactly. The fifth season was July to September. And then in the in the UK, it starts in January though.
So really?
This will, I wonder how that works with HBO Max for our UK listeners, which we've got some, and tally ho to our UK listeners. I'm sure you love
that. They
have
to dub everything over when she's like, yeah, when Samantha and I were on the lift, we went, yeah, me and him, he was acting so weird. We ordered a pint the other day.
Me and all the girls had a talk in a place where women can connect the most. The loo.
Yeah, I had to do some voice dubbing. You know, I had to go in and do all of the and then in other parts of England they have to do Cockney.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't help but wonder. Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder.
What about men really peeves you off?
Hey, what is it that really gets you about a bloke?
Huh? Yeah. The thing is, Aiden's being a real wanker.
Dude. All right, let's watch Drama Queens.
Let's watch
Season
Drama Queens
3, Episode 7.
Miranda was having a rough day because she got wicked pissed last night.
Sam, off having another shag. Classic.
Classic.
Classic shag.
Oh, he really slagged her off. Okay, let's watch. All right.
In it.
We're going to watch Drama Queens. Katie, give us
the rundown, Katie.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Episode 37, Drama Queens. Carrie obsesses about her perfect relationship when Aiden suggests she meet his parents. Miranda enjoys her intimate life with Steve. Charlotte gets upset when a married friend won't set her up with his bachelor buddy. And Samantha tries Viagra while sleeping with a doctor. And now, back to the boys.
And we're back.
The Drama Queens.
Man, do you think you have to have drama in a relationship to make it work?
Yeah, that's why anytime things are going smoothly, I get a burner phone, I get a fake phone number, and then I just text like your current boyfriend just gave you chlamydia. And then she comes to me, she's like, what the fuck? You just gave me an STD. And I'm just like, so? And then after we go get tested and we find out it's fake, I was like, I just wanted like...
Wait, who's the text coming from in her phone though?
Of just a fake number.
It's just a fake.
Yeah. And she'll be like, and then she's like, who is this? And it's like, it's someone with a lot of information. That's one of them. Another one is you get your parents to, you just give your parents your girlfriend's phone number, mm-hmm. and say like, this is like a stalker, someone like who's like, I'm really scared of. Mm-hmm. And then your parents will periodically like text them and just be like, leave my son alone. And you're like, what's wrong with your parents? And then you encourage your parents to do it. And this is the type of stuff that can bring you ultimately closer.
I just give them my current girlfriend's phone number and say, this is who you call for tech support. and then it really ratchets up the drama. Cause yeah. It's just like, I don't know. You have to show me the screen. I can't tell you how to print if I don't see the dialogue box. Like, okay.
A few years ago when you convinced me that you gave me chlamydia, now that was kind of upsetting. Walking your parents through how to work a printer is just, that's over the line.
It is. Me and a friend, friend of the pod, our friend Bill, we came up with a great system. I was with his parents and we came up with a great system, which was, I think it was called
Parent Tech. It's P-A-R-I-P-A-I-R-E-N-T.
Yeah.
Like you're pairing up. And it's you pair your friend with your parents, and they pair you with their parents. And that's how the tech support happens. So it's like an app to set you up with other people's parents, because my theory is,
yeah,
if I was helping your parents with tech support,
yeah,
there's no way that I would be as frustrated or rude as I am with someone who I'm related to.
Yeah.
And then like I would get some stuff out of it too, like probably like life advice that my parents are probably like, we don't need to give him life advice. Like we have a great relationship. He knows what he's doing. But your parents would be like, can I just compliment you on something?
Yeah.
So it's like a great mutual thing.
I think that's great. One little glitch is who's going to convince the parents how to download that app to get paired with someone else.
That's a great idea. What's
my iTunes password?
Wait, so I don't know my Apple ID.
What is a Face ID? I keep putting my finger on it.
Kevin, the phone is trying to get existential. It keeps asking what my face id is. What's my face id? I wonder if Carrie would not have been able to help Aiden's parents with tech support. She would have been too in her head the whole time.
No.
Also, Carrie doesn't know anything about computers. She knows nothing about computers.
Well, she knows the word processor.
She knows how to open Word. Yeah.
Totally. There was somebody... I think give the breakdown.
Yep, let me give the breakdown. Watch the breakdown. Okay. Drama Queens. So episode 7, Drama Queens. Carrie keeps freaking out, waking up in a start because she doesn't know what's going on in her life. She has something that is really eating at her, and she finds out what it is that things are so good with Aiden and she's never been in a stable position before in her life. Then they go to a chat and shoe. Miranda says that Steve's predictable and it's actually great. They have a great relationship. And you know, they're eating together, they're sleeping together, they're living together. Everything's great. Charlotte is reading. Samantha, of course, thinks all this is boring. Charlotte is reading a book called Marriage Inc. And her new plan is she's going to befriend all of her married friends, guy friends, the husband's friends, so that she can find a husband, because that's what this book is telling you how to do. Also, Samantha's storyline is that she's dating a guy named Mark Baskins, who he's the disgraced son of the Baskins Robbins ice cream fortune, and he went on to get addicted to Viagra. So he's taking Viagra, and they're going to the moon every time they sleep together. Carrie and Aiden talk about what's wrong with Aiden, why he's not married. She continues to be in her head about it. He also wears a ridiculous shirt that is like a crazy hippie tablecloth pattern that might actually be kind of a cool shirt. It's possible. And she wears some like big brass rose choker or something like that. Charlotte asks to get set up with a guy named Phil, who is with Dennis, the bachelor friend. And Charlotte just goes way too hard on that, constantly calling, saying like, why hasn't this guy called me yet? Eventually, the guy, her married friend, says, I'm really sorry. How about he meets you at Rudy's? And so she gets for the date. Meanwhile, Miranda, her drama with Steve is that she finds the skid marks in his underwear. And the question that I asked you earlier that is Carrie's, I couldn't help but wonder, is do we need drama to make a relationship work? So like I said, Charlotte goes nuts. She ends up finding out that because of her drama, she gets what she wants, which she thinks is a date with Phil. But what it ends up being is that this guy shows up and he's
this complete gentleman
who is married shows up and says, there is no other guy that I'm going to introduce you to. I'm in love with you. Charlotte then storms out of the bar very dramatically, almost gets run over by a taxi, and meets the love of our life, Trey.
The only I thought I needed Viagra and really I just need to watch this scene. Mm-hmm. That's my Viagra,
which is paradoxical because we later find out Trey definitely needs Viagra.
Viagra, but
yep,
He's my Viagra.
Yep. And then the way everything else ties up is Samantha takes a Viagra. Her drama is that she gets so addicted that this guy has to write her prescriptions for Viagra, and they never see each other again. Miranda and Steve, the skid marks thing, they end up finding that, you know, sometimes predictability is actually kind of good. And then Carrie's is that she goes to the opera with Charlotte. She ends up seeing Big in binoculars. Big tries to chase her out, and Carrie gets so freaked out that she calls Charlotte or she calls Miranda at 3 a.m, which is nuts. And then Carrie cancels on Aiden.
It's not meeting nuts. I could call you at 3 a.m.
You could call me at 3 a.m. It's true. It's not nuts. Sorry, I take that back. And then Carrie cancels on Aiden meeting his parents. Mm-hmm. And then she ends up coming to her senses again, tracking Aiden down and saying, "You're just such a good man." And the drama is that I think you're great and can I meet your parents? And that's how it ends. So that's everyone's drama. What was the bonus scene?
The bonus scene at the end in the diner is when Aiden's dad looks at Carrie and just says,
"Well, I have nipples, Carrie. Can you milk me?"
I kept thinking about that because he's saying meet the parents.
"Hey, Carrie, it's either my way or the Long Island Expressway."
Carrie, you have been brought into a circle of trust. Dude.
Okay, so
yeah, great breakdown.
That's the breakdown. Thank you.
Okay,
lots of great stuff in this episode, and lots of good relational conversations as well that we can get into.
I think I came across something pretty great right here. Oh shit, where'd it go?
Oh gosh.
First of all, here's what we have. What happens if women take Viagra? Reddit, no stupid questions.
Oh, yes. Let's get into it.
There was a study. At first, I thought it said concocted, but it said conducted. There's a study concocted.
That sounds like people are just slipping women Viagra.
Yeah, that's a really good way to be underhanded about like a doctor's work. So there's a study concocted by Laura Berman of Northwestern University. Okay, that showed women had increased arousal, lubrication, and stronger orgasms. Oh. Their study group was over 200 women, postmenopausal or post-hysterectomy women. And then there's a person that said below, "Was menopausal and post-hysterectomy at the time I tried it just to see. Result, meh, I couldn't tell any difference." And then people said it could be used for pulmonary hypertension treatment. That's what it was originally developed for. So
that's right. It was a heart drug, right?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to increase blood flow, I guess.
Yeah.
Which it does.
And then it started flowing to guys.
Ding dongs. Yeah, they're real heart.
This is a really great. These are people just having fun on Reddit. Someone said, why don't more women take it? Mm-hmm. And then someone said, "My guess is it's expensive-ish. This is Breakman Bob." That's his name. "For a man who has ED."
Good friend of Scatman John.
Yeah.
Scott, what do you want to do?
"For a man who has ED, he needs to pay the money to have sex. But for women, it's just added pleasure." Right? Like, that's why more people don't use it.
And yeah.
He's also said, I hope that didn't come off sounding like women don't deserve pleasure. And then the person below him said, "Well, it did. And literally everyone's offended by your statement." And I think they're being sarcastic, but you know, some people just having fun.
Dude, Reddit. It is. I mean, John is a big Redditor. He's kind of gotten me to get into it, but it's great.
Yeah.
Reddit is such a great fun community. The Sex and the City Reddit, there's some fun stuff that goes on there. One thing about the Sex and the City Reddit, and I don't know if anyone was brought here by the Sex and the City Reddit, and if you were, welcome. One thing is that people on the Sex and the City Reddit are so into Sex and the City that there will just be full out multi-thread discussions that are like, "Carrie squeal. I'm not sure about it in season 3.
Really?
Like there are just certain things where people are like, and like, it is interesting because I noticed this in season 3, especially Miranda and Steve's kind of like back and forth talking down to stuff that sometimes comes up or like you can tell like she gets annoyed with him and then, or his childishness, which like is a storyline, but there will be things where they're like, is Miranda too hard on Steve? And then people get like way into it. It's a really good discussion.
When I posted a discussion. Thing, I mean, let's cover. So is there anything to cover with Samantha besides the Viagra thing?
Not really. I mean, it's a pretty goof troop Samantha storyline.
Goof troop. That's so funny. That's a great way to describe it.
But it, I mean, like there's the I think it's kind of a classic Samantha scene where she like goes like, oh, and does like the operatic orgasm thing. And then they like match cut it to the opera, which like that's a memorable thing. But yeah, there's not much else to it.
We got to post that. I'll post that and just say when a new Bradshaw Boys episode drops.
That's great.
And then it's the implication is that all of our followers just have intense orgasms a second.
Especially all the male listeners.
All the male listeners. Well, when I posted this scene on the Insta, mm-hmm. Which maybe I can play a little bit of it. Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Right here. Listen.
It's not great. $1 million. It's fucking great.
Well, besides the swearing, a bunch of kids, a bunch of people. I was just like, he just seems like a 9-year-old here.
Yeah.
And just a lot of people came in and were pretty anti-Steve.
Really?
A lot of anti-Steve rhetoric on there. But then also, after this one, I was like, yeah, between him being like, I love to play basketball, mm-hmm. and then now knowing that he regularly shits his pants, I mean, here's some people said, someone said, Steve has always made me cringe the day he wouldn't take care of his own baby so Miranda could get a haircut, and then the eyes up emoji. And then... someone said couldn't take his stupid fake speech impediment. Miranda Brady, it came and went, chode.
Dude, that is I'm here for someone roasting Steve that chode. Hard. I love that. That's
and then,
great.
And then our long time that was Matt Agent Photographer. Follow him. But then Our one friend, Linus Burton, just said, Dangler, fire.
I saw that. I saw the Dangler funny. Comment. Shout out to Elizabeth.
But yeah, it is kind of funny because they are writing Steve a little, it's like a little over the top into like, I'm a goofy guy.
Yeah, completely. Like hardcore.
Manic Pixie Brady Boy.
He is Manic Pixie Brady Boy. Also, speaking of someone crapping their pants, if you hear a low and slow... that is, they're building a building behind my apartment. That's the noises in New York. If you don't live in New York, what you don't realize is there's always construction going on that's screwing up your neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, that is true.
So true.
Walking around today, I was just like,
man. Dude, it's everywhere.
Just, I love New York. It's like my favorite place I've ever lived. I still love it here. But the adjustment period when you first get back, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Or when you talk to kids. Because I was talking to kids and I was like, oh, how was your summer? They were like, we were in the Hamptons at the beach. Mm-hmm. Talking like Steve.
Exactly. You're like, what are you, a bar
like,
owner?
Do you like, so this is just the innocent eyes of a child. I'm like, oh, is it nice to be back? And they're like, no, it smells like piss. You don't say that. They're like, it smells and it's loud. And I'm like, yeah, but the culture, the energy. They're like, no, you adults are idiots. Why do you live here?
I know. There is.
This is abusive to raise a child here.
It's definitely, there is a thing where like I was gone some this summer and I think it was when I was like at the beach with my family. And then I was like back home. And there was this thing, I was talking to my dad and I was like, you know, I really do like it, but it is so nice down here. And I was like, it's just really busy. And he was like, yeah, it's a real different world where you live. And like, it's the kind of thing that I think you get in it and you see it. That's one thing that's great on the show is that they really do a good job of like actually showing the concrete jungle of the city.
Yeah.
But it really is like you forget, like when you go live somewhere, like you were out, you know, in like a gorgeous place all summer and you're just like, man, it is really nice. not being loud all the time.
Yeah.
I tried to go out and read on my fire escape the other day, and then it was like 2 in the afternoon and they just parked a trash truck there. And you know, when a truck just idles and just like,
yeah,
it just did that for 20 minutes. And I was like, I can't sit out here. There's a giant trash truck and like people yelling.
The, you know, the city of New York is the fifth character. And that character is, I don't know. I was just trying to think.
The city of New York is the fifth character.
I was trying to think of the worst character that it could be.
The city of New York is the worst character.
The first thing that came to mind was Too Dark. And
me too.
I was going to say, the city of New York is the fifth character, and it's Ralph Fiennes from Schindler's List.
Oh, I was going to say, the city of New York is the fifth character, and it's the real life Harvey Weinstein. just a terrible, terrible person.
Oh man,
we're really sorry.
Well, that's what the noise. But that's what the noise is in the background.
That's what the noise is in the background. Anyway,
it's not us. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So
since
Steve,
I always appreciate the city's or the show's head to head, clear eyed writing about bodily functions, and I will say, I used to always get skid marks as a kid.
Yeah.
I haven't in years. I don't, it did seem to be more of a boy thing. Like I always had skid marks. That's why it's like weird that it's like, why tidy whities just do tidy blackies.
Exactly.
Like that should be the norm.
Exactly.
Which I think is a porn site.
Tidy blackies.
Tidy blackies.
Yeah, it is. It's a porn site with a very questionable name.
but, yeah, it is. I'm not going to get on Reddit and look up what causes skid marks because I know it's poop.
It is a real question though, because I will say when you mentioned tidy blackies, one thing that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen was the fanciest restaurant I've ever been to, which we've talked about it before. You and I have. I don't know if we talked about it on the pod, but it was very, very, very like it was the nicest meal I ever eaten in my life. I like treated myself. It was the place in Spain. It was, it was like the number four restaurant in the world. And it was like a huge present to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing that I thought was so interesting is you go to the bathroom and they have black toilet paper. And it's like a gross thought, but there's a thing where I was like, yeah, you hide the veneer. It's the same thing. It's like, why would you get sparkling white underwear no matter who you are?
Yeah.
It's like no one wants to look at the horrible parts of their body.
Yeah.
So like, why not? Like if you're going to like think of everything in a restaurant, you're like, yeah, it's low lighting. And, you know, we make everything, so you don't have to think about that. It's kind of a gross discussion, but I do think I heard on Corinne Fisher's podcast, Guys We Fucked, that we've had her on our pod. They talked about this question and they were like saying, you know, the there's like a thing, they're like, we always say like wipe until it's white, or they're like, or wipe until it's red. Just like make yourself raw. And but I do think it is a thing with guys, and like I safe space being the entire internet here in this podcast, but like I've had a skid before after like going running or something. I think there's something, I don't know what it is, but I think there's a thing with like,
leak.
It's a little, yeah. Little BL, butt leak.
Little BL.
Little BL, great rapper. He's guested on every hip hop album.
This is, this is on Too Afraid to Ask Reddit. I'm just Googled this and it's taking me to Reddit because there's no articles written about, what was the last thing we just read about? Girls in Viagra. It takes you, the top thing is Reddit. It's not like a health magazine or something. It's just like where unfettered free conversation is happening.
No one in men's health is getting put on the butt skid marks beat.
Yeah. So Crocheted Kingdoms has to. It's just, what's with men and skid marks? Do y'all not wipe your butts? Are you flossing your crack with your underwear before you toss them not in, but 2 inches to the left of the dirty clothes basket? Every man I've been with, and I've been with men in varying states of grooming habits, has skid marks. My friends' husbands have skid marks. My father had skid marks. My stepfather had skid marks. My brother has skid marks. Y'all know it's okay to clean your butthole, right? Are you okay? Do you need someone to show you how to wipe your butt properly? Should I prepare for my son to grow up having skid marks horrifying his future partner or partners? Is wiping your butt a skill men lose over time? Please help, for fuck's sake.
Is there any answer to why? Is there like a doctor that weighs in?
I don't know. And then someone says, I'm damn sure I wipe all the shit off my asshole. Nothing more embarrassing than walking around smelling like literal shit.
Oh.
Dude, I mean, listen.
Wait, what is it?
Oh my gosh. This the top comment over it says, work only has single ply. We do our best. That dude's just like, hey,
listen.
Here's reality for you.
Listen, I'm working with limited resources.
I think reading that takes back my comment about their writing Steve into childish a character. I think they're just being real.
I think that was one when I saw Miranda in the laundry room and she was like, and then they get there and then there's the walk and talk with Carrie and Miranda and they're like, what is it with guys and skid marks? That had to be like a writer's room conversation where there were women and they were just like, my husband is an adult male and he has skid marks. And I think there had to be some conversation. And then there were probably guys that were like, I don't know, but it happened. So like,
yeah,
I think that like had to come from a real place.
Dude, I guarantee you there's in divorce notes. There's like, that's in a divorce.
That was the skid that broke the camel's back. It took the marriage down. Probably so. Yeah, totally. Totally. But I think that they end up, I guess it's interesting. I think the Steve and Miranda plot ends with him coming behind her in the laundry room and like kissing her on the neck. And then they end up like making out while she's sitting on the washing machine. And
which would be awesome.
Totally. That's like the whirlpool Sibian.
Yeah. she's getting a little extra. She's getting a little extra juice.
Oh God.
I didn't mean like juice,
like vagina juice.
I just meant like having a, you know, a little extra stem.
Yeah, a little extra, just like a little extra kick.
Dude, that'd be awesome if a laundromat did the or a place like Whirlpool was just like, not only do we clean our clothes the best, if you sit on it, you're gonna come harder. By Whirlpool.
It's just. Have you ever seen Idiocracy? The Mike Judge movie.
No, I haven't.
There's something. It's either in Idiocracy or it's in like these Onion videos you used to do. But it's just like in the future, advertising is just very frank and vulgar.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
It feels like it goes that way. One thing I will say, it's a huge pet peeve of mine, and I wonder if you see this. Is I'll get there's all these internet ads that are commercials and they're shot. They're like 6 minute long commercials and they pop up and then they go away because they're an Instagram ad.
Yeah.
But like there's one and it's this girl. This reminds me of the Rand and Steve thing. It's this woman who's like, does your butt smell? Do the butt suds test. When you're in the shower, wash your butt with butt suds soap and then smell your hand. And like as I'm watching it, I was like, ew. This is disgusting. Also, it's like a cute character actress. So I'm like, it sucks to be that. It's either someone who booked it who's like, I'll take anything of because you're an actor and it's like you gotta book stuff. Or it's someone who's like, oh, this is like our cute friend that works on our office. She's funny, she'll do the butt set thing. There's another one with some guy, he's like, you need a man soap, a Sasquatch soap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I hate those commercials and I kind of hate that. They all came from Dollar Shave Club, which
100%,
which Dollar Shave Club, which Dollar Shave Club did it well.
Yeah,
theirs were really good.
There's another fact, real quick.
Hold on, hang your thought. The Dollar Shave Club original commercial, the like one that like set it all off, directed by the showrunner of the TV show Hacks.
Really?
Yep, Lucianello directed awesome. That. Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying? We were talking about Dollar Shave Club, and you were like the interesting thing.
There's another one that's like that. Because it started like a new thing in advertising of like, let's talk frankly about you know, bodily functions like a little more. But there's one that's over the line. It's just like a guy who's like bearded and it shows up before like every YouTube video. So they're telling me, they're like, we know you have skid marks. And I'm like, I don't. Okay. I know I'm in the demographic, but I don't. Okay.
That's my bill.
New rules from my skid marks.
I don't have shit in my underwear because I'm an adult. Okay. So it's just a guy and he's just sitting there and he's like, right now in your intestines, there's over 24 pounds of poop. And I'm just like, that's not true.
I know.
Because it's your body works in a way if you like let it be and are healthy. Mm-hmm. And so there's stuff that people are like convincing you all the time that you always have to cleanse.
Yeah.
And you may need to, but I was like, it's such like a weird fear thing to be like, right now your body's full of shit. And I was
and he's like, and it's weighing you down and you're not getting the sleep you need because you've got undigested poop in your body.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never had any anecdotal evidence from anyone. What you should say is like, yeah, fucking drink a drink, green juice.
Yeah.
And like,
don't eat fast food for 3 days.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the way that I found, I think I told John this. Can I tell you, I don't think I've told this on the pod before. Can I tell you the way I found out? Cause I knew that was fake.
Yeah.
But I went down a deep rabbit hole about that. And the way that I found out that it was fake was, it's no secret to the pod that I like cooking. I like restaurants. Yeah. I like buying weird ingredients.
Yeah.
And I went to one of my favorite places, H Mart, the Korean grocery store in Koreatown. And I saw this tea that was called Fat Buster tea. Uh-huh. And it was like with a bunch of herbal teas. And yeah, I was like, I sometimes will like allow myself to buy like, I'll be like, oh, I'll buy like one weird ingredient or one weird thing. I don't know what it is. And so I was, and like working from home, don't want to drink coffee all day. So I was like just drinking like pots of tea and I was like drinking this stuff a bunch. And my stomach was like killing me. And also I'd bought something else at the Korean grocery store that it was like a thing I don't usually eat. And so I was like, oh, maybe like this is throwing off my diet. And like it could have been a skid mark situation because it was like sending me to the bathroom often.
Yeah.
And then I started Googling. I was like, I don't know if I'm sick. My stomach is killing me. And I looked into this thing and it had some long term of what was in the tea. And the further I went down the rabbit hole, it was senna, S-E-N-N-A, which is an organic root, which is also in that stuff called Zupu, which is that internet ad. And it's a natural laxative. And so for days, I'd just been pounding laxative tea at home, like while I was working. But that's what's in those pills is they're selling you a thing where they're like, you've got tons of undigested poop or whatever. Like you're backed up. And then they just sell you laxatives. That's, and so then you like crap your brains out for days.
And then you're like, oh, then you're wow, like, oh, I did.
Yeah. And like, I like read all this stuff and there's all these the like studies like, that are stop. Like, yeah, there's people that are like, yeah, you can do that. And of course you're going to do this, but like no one needs to. And like you will maybe feel lighter because no one's supposed to go to the bathroom that much.
Yeah. Anyway. I think, listen, all you guys out there that listen. Okay. I know there's at least like two or three of you. Mm-hmm. Wipe. Don't be a Steve. Hold yourself to the high standard of women and gay men. Mm-hmm. And let's have a no skid summer. Let's have a no skid year.
Let's have 2021 be a no skid year. 2022, no skids, 365.
Yeah. I don't skid. No one on our pod skids.
Nope.
Okay.
No,
but that doesn't mean that means that we need to get out there and tell people like no skidding on you too. We don't want you bringing us down. We don't want this to be another storyline in another TV show again.
But I do want to say there's no shame if you've skidded.
If you've skidded in the past.
If you've skidded in the past, but
it's a new day.
But speaking of these internet things,
or it's a bidet.
It's a bidet. I think we should bring back bidets. I mean, people get those like crazy Japanese toilet seats that which are great. But it's a bidet, no skids. I don't want no skids. And we'll take one of these podcast ads. Use those flushable biodegradable wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cause what's called a fatberg in the plumbing system.
Yeah.
Get the biodegradable ones, but yeah, clean it out, get no skids. You know, that maybe really could have taken some bumps out of Steve Miranda's relationship. All right. I feel like we've covered that one pretty in depth.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do Charlotte's and then we'll end on Aiden and Carrie. Charlotte's one of the biggest things to me. Charlotte's is it's not as goof troop as Samantha's, but it's like half goof troop.
She's a little over the top.
She gets a little intense.
She is like, I think it's kind of interesting that it's paired with Carrie because it is kind of like it would be frustrating if your dream is to be in a relationship and there's someone that's like, it's too perfect. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like, it's not, it's, it's a little played at a high level, but also I feel like they can get away with playing it to a high level because they gotta raise the stakes real high, because guess what? Like I thought, I was like, this is like, this is kind of like a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's the freaking taxi scene with Trey showing up.
Yep.
And imagine the first time when people are just like, holy shit. Like no one even knows what's coming.
Yeah. When he gets out, especially at that point, you're like,
you don't even know he's a doctor yet.
Yeah. But if you know, which I think people probably did, know actor wise, like that's Kyle MacLachlan. But also he's just like dashing,
fucking
handsome. It's like the stakes have been set so high. And then Charlotte is like, one thing that was super interesting is the talk about her being like, I've decided this is the year I'm going to get married. Mm. So it does say something about the intention. And I don't mean like in a manifesting way, but her intention of like, it's like the next man that walks in this room, I'm going to marry him.
Yeah.
And then it like sets her up to be like, not only like you're saying, you see Trey and you're like, the viewers are like, oh my gosh, but also where she's coming from. Yeah. She's like that, where she's just like, dude rescued me from getting run over. I've just come from another creep. This is it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so ready for this.
Dude. Yeah. That is the meeting someone organically like that. And then you both being single and then you both like getting a number. Come on.
Yeah. It's great.
Nothing better than that.
No, nothing better than that.
There was a girl in the subway one time that set, like I had like my AirPod, I think I said this on the pod, but I had like my headphones in and she's like pointed at headphones.
I think you told me.
And I was like eating like M&Ms. It was like late on the subway and she's like, can I have an M&M? And I was like, yeah. Here were some M&Ms. We were like chatting. And then, and I was like, do you want to get a drink sometime? She's like, oh, I'm married. And I was like, oh my gosh. She just fucking charmed my hard earned M&Ms out of me.
Yeah. That was like an M&M's commercial or something like that. Like
with a tragic ending. And the regular, not the peanut M&M, who's a little more Al Borland, but the more Billy Crystal M&M would have really been like, she took you for a ride.
And then, and then it would have cut to another scene, or it would like the button of the commercial would be the green M&M just sitting there on the train, like taking some dude's like food or something so like hot. That. Just being so hot. God, the green M&M is just, she's so hot.
Who's hotter, the green M&M or adult Nala from Lion King?
Well, it's weird because then you get into like bestiality.
Yeah.
Like it's like an M&M is not really it's not a person, but it's not an animal.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's more morally correct to want to fuck an M&M.
Which one, I mean, it kind of is. Which one is, I'm trying to think of another inanimate object. What about the green M&M or Dory from Finding Dory? That's a fish.
I want to put my dick in the littlest toaster. Seems dangerous, but
what about when
there's definitely hot cartoons.
Yeah, I mean I guess you do get to cartoon animals and you get into like there's Jessica Rabbit's the hottest. Hot. Yeah.
The hottest.
I think
you know what's
she
funny
wins.
Is on Patreon, like once you they kind of have like the main Patreons, like when you look up like the graph, and then when you scroll below that, it's just all just people making porn games.
Really?
Making porn art. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's like, it's a huge thing. So we got to do that. Just like draw pictures of just like Kyle MacLachlan's face and some jugs and.
Totally do. There's speaking of Kyle MacLachlan, before she meets him, did you notice that on the phone when she's talking with Dennis, I think is the husband's name. And, he's like, I'll set you up with Phil. And he's like, you know, Rudy's in Midtown. And she's like,
I know.
I love that place. And it's not Rudy's that they go to. It's a set.
I was going to ask you if that's even what they meant, because the way they say Rudy's in Midtown is not, I wonder, because if anyone doesn't know, Rudy's has these like duct tape booths.
Like booth literally made of, it's like the booth is like half made of duct tape.
Yeah. And then pitchers of beer are, $11?
Maybe cheaper. They're so cheap.
Yeah. And then free hot dogs all night.
Always giving out hot dogs. Probably during COVID, they were still going out hot dogs. Yeah. Like, they don't care.
And it's a great dive bar. Mm-hmm. I was there the night that Obama got elected the first time.
He was there too.
And he was there. He's like,
thank you very much. Let me get a hot dog for Michelle. And Sleepy Joe, you want a hot dog?
And that's how I knew.
I'll take a hot dog. Wear a mask.
Wear a damn mask. Wear a mask.
Hey, get a mask with a hole in it so you can put a hot dog through it. What do you think of that, Kamala? Huh?
But it's a place with such character and such just a great dive bar.
Yeah.
And then I was so excited. And then I was like, oh, it's like the most generic bar set.
I know. I wonder if they like wanted to give Rudy's a shout. Like, I wonder if they were writers that were like, oh yeah, we go there after work sometimes.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to give it a shout. And then it was just like, we're not going to put Rudy's in the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought that, I was like, oh man, that would be so great.
I think there's something to, it doesn't end up working out. That's the thing that we now, you know, watching this rewatch is different, but there is something to deciding what you want and then seeing what you want. Like, there's a healthy and an unhealthy thing that, that it can be unhealthy to fit a round tray into a square hole.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
But there is something that I feel like is just, I think, borne out in like a lot of life experience that we've all had by now, that the people that are just like, we've had lots of friends lately, they're like, yep, I think I'm ready for this. And then it's like, you know, this person's engaged, now they're married, they have a kid, and they're like,
yeah.
Because at a certain point, that's where I think her, it was like kind of played for laughs, but there is something that Charlotte has that doesn't necessarily seem desperate. That is basically just like, yeah, I know marriage is hard.
Yep.
I know like having kids is not easy. And I know this, I know that. Like, I just want to find someone to do that with. And I think that is something that is kind of cool that I guess is played for laughs in a way. But I do think there is the marriaging thing is like a poor example of it. But I just see that a lot. People like kind of flip a switch. They're like, yeah, this was a fun chapter of my life. I'm ready for the next chapter.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I feel like, I think I've talked about it on the podcast, the book, The Movie Goer. I know you and I have talked about it, because it's one of my favorite books, but I'm reading a biography of Walker Percy, the guy who wrote The Movie Goer. And he was like basically in a place in his life where he was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it was like, and then he had this one trip where he was like, I'm going to move back to the town right outside New Orleans. I'm going to become a writer and I'm going to marry this woman. And then like he did all that. And it's just like people get, there's a conversation in this show somewhere about like, like when people get ready for stuff and it's like, yep, all right, I'm going to do it. And Charlotte has like been ready for that from the get go. But also it's like after she like a couple episodes ago, like dresses up with the drag dude, you know, like she's probably had a million things where she's like, and she even tells her friends, she's like, I'm ready for this and you're going to see me less because I'm going to be hanging out with married people.
Yeah.
Those are the people that have friends that want to get married.
Yeah.
Which like she ends up being wrong about that, but still it leads her to like give it a shot. And I will say, I think that like we, you know, I mean, no, John was there because he is married, but like we have been in places too, where it's like, all right, like, you know, you get to a place where you're like, all right, I want to give this a shot.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you kind of get to a place where you're like, yeah, cool. Like, well, I don't want to just like not give things a shot, you know?
You'll see that sometimes on, I haven't been on the apps for a bit, but it's like on dating apps, there are some people that I think it's like really good that are basically like looking for a real connection, not like not interested in like conversation, would love to like go on. And I'm like, that's it's great because, you know, if you're, I think the more clear you are about what you want, the more potential you have to make a real connection. If some girl's like, I like camping, I'm looking for a real connection, I'll accept you if you have skid marks, you know, and all. Yeah, like that's me.
That's me. I love camping and I love getting skid marks.
I do think there is something that it's like she's at this point that there's a little more wisdom to her outlook than I think is presented in the show.
I agree. I think they make her look. I mean, the way that she gets a little, she does get a little intense, like trying to track this dude down, but they do make her look like desperate Charlotte reading mm-hmm. books about getting married. And it's like, listen, I know people, men and women, who've like read books about marriage, safe haven marriage, you know?
So. And tut tut on Charlotte. That guy's in a rough marriage. You should have had sex with him. Shame on you.
Exactly. Come on, Charlotte. Okay, so Trey's in the mix. We're very happy. Let's go, Carrie.
Aiden.
And I actually have a we have a great listener question.
Really?
We do.
Is it a voicemail?
It's not. It's a written one.
Okay. That's good.
Hang on, let me pull it up real quick. It's a fantastic question that I had not thought about before. And it actually goes deeper. Okay, I'll just read it real quick. This is from it's Kayleen.
I'm familiar with her work.
I'm familiar with her stories on Instagram. She said, "Hey guys, I'm listening to the rewatch of No Ifs, Ands, or Buts." That's when Carrie and Aiden meet and the smoking thing. He's like, "You smoke?" She said, since Aiden's back, there's something I've always wondered but never mentioned. Has there ever been a conversation about the fact that his last name is Shaw and Carrie's last name is Bradshaw? Is it supposed to be a metaphor, like he's half of her, close to completing her, but not fully? What do you guys think? Which it's funny because when she wrote that, I was like, that's an interesting tidbit. However, it is like an interesting story thing where there's like, oh, Aiden is in so many ways. People are like, oh, he's so perfect for Carrie. But it's like, it kind of, even in this one where she's like waking up, she's like, things are so perfect. And it's like, it's either that maybe she likes drama, or maybe it's like a good on paper that she can't put her finger on. And then to go even deeper into this thing, I looked up what the word Aiden means. Aiden means little fire. One of the meanings of the word Aiden in Irish mythology, it says little fire. And then I was like, wait, so that's like saying little fire Shaw. You know who's not named Little? Big.
Whoa.
So we got some guy named Little Shaw, and then we've just got Mr. Big. So, I mean, maybe a stretch, but I do think that I don't know if they meant.
And what happened to Building 7?
And you know what? You know what we all know? Because he owns a multinational corporation, Mr. Big can melt steel beams. So,
I don't put it past that at all, because they literally knew they were creating another.
Yeah.
You like know, a foil. Like sometimes in books or anything, when it's like, it seems too good to be true. And then when you have ever worked on anything creative, it's like you think about everything so much that it's like, if something is this excellent, like they must have been thinking about that. But I think there is something to what you said, because they do a good job of writing. That's maybe why so many people are so attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people are like repulsed in a way, because there is something that when something is great on paper, but I don't know. It's a mega red flag that she's like having night terrors.
Yes.
You know totally. What I mean? Because that's not something you can talk yourself out of.
Yeah.
And I guess I wonder where it's coming from. It's interesting that she sees Big in this episode, but she doesn't really get down to like what it is. Cause what she comes down to is like, I shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
But I think what she is missing from him is passion.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Only a little fire. She wants a big fire.
She wants a big fire. Call the fire department. Yeah, no, that's true. And I think you're right. The night terrors thing, there's definitely, do you remember when she calls, that's in this episode, right? She calls Miranda. Yeah. She calls Miranda at 3 a.m. just like perfect Steve thing. Steve sits up and goes, "What the hello?" Like he sits up straight, like the most cartoon character, and then he like lays back down. He's like, "Oh, I gotta go. Like an Adam Sandler character, but like, yeah, there is something going on where Aiden is just like. Like she says something about like, well, what if we meet your parents and then we break up? And he's like, are you breaking up with me?
Yeah.
And, but there's a thing that it's not Aiden's fault, but it might be half a thing. I mean, yeah. Like I do think in this, it's funny in this rewatch, John is more pro Carrie and I'm starting to find myself more anti Carrie, but I will say as someone who has confessed some Carrie in himself, she's doing a lot of overthinking.
Yeah.
But also maybe stuff that she can't help because maybe there's something there that yeah. she needs to look into. That's just like a gut instinct or something like that. I was yeah. actually very proud of her when she was like, I woke up, I cleaned my apartment. I went through all my deadlines, all my receipts. I was like, oh, that's actually some good self-awareness to be like, something's bothering me. I'm going to try to get everything out of the way. And I still can't figure out what it is. But like, I think in this thing, this is one of the times where like, as much as Aiden gets on my nerves and our nerves, that I am like, man, kind of sucks to be him because he's not really doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
He's just like being himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just being himself. And he's just like, and then also he's like, you said not to call.
Totally. Like, yeah.
All, you know?
Yeah, totally. And she's like, yeah, why didn't you call? And he's like, I'm just trying to give you space. Like, yeah. You seem like you wanted it. And, you know, my folks are here. So, but yeah, that was, I mean, we did get a great classic Aiden moment. When he walks out of the diner, when his folks are there and you were right. You were like, he looks pretty cool, but he had that snapback hat on that was just barely hanging on. Cause his yeah. head's so big.
He couldn't just one snap. The costume designer was like, is there any way we can get two? And he's like, you could, but it really hurts my head. It really is.
Guys, do we have a bigger hat? And they're like, we have to make a bigger hat. We can't. I mean, we don't have the time. We don't have the budget or the time.
We're going to need a bigger hat.
The strong wind would have just blown it off. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad to see, but it feels kind of like she didn't realize it yet, but she's kind of talking herself into something.
You know how I know we're at a good part in the show? We're starting to have just a whole rack of regular guys. The show finally found its footing. Mm-hmm. We got Steve, we got Trey, we got Big and Aiden. Mm-hmm. And Samantha's, you know, she's still going to bring in some pinch hitters one episode at a time, but the team has been assembled. The yeah. Avengers, the male Sex and the City Avengers are here.
Yeah. It's like, we started out with the great basketball team of Rich Stein and yeah. all those guys. And even Skipper was on that team, but now we're getting to the dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dream team. And they all have their superpowers. It's like, Steve Brady, I shit my pants. Trey McDougal, I have erectile dysfunction. Big, I am an emotionally unavailable.
I'm emotionally available and a functional alcoholic.
And I am Aiden. I am perpetually annoying and manipulative about your smoking habits. Together, we form.
We form.
Every aspect of.
every aspect of man in one conglomerate. Oh, man. Oh, well. Great episode.
That's yeah,
super fun. Hey, we'll have more of these on Patreon if you want more. Hey, give us a review, rate us 5 Cosmos, send us stuff on Instagram.
Send us stuff on the gram, send us an email, we'll read it on the pod.
Send us a voicemail, we'll play it on the pod. We'll
play it on the pod.
And as always, later taters.
Later to the tater.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.